We have been talking about increasing our capacity to receive. We have studied in previous weeks how thanksgiving helps us to increase our capacity to receive. And we moved on to studying how to pray in confidence. We would like to move on in that same life today. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 13 to 24. Romans chapter 4, verse 13 to 24. Still on the series, increasing your capacity to receive. Still on that series, today we'll be looking at praying with full assurance. Praying with full assurance. And I'll read the Bible from the book of Romans chapter 4, verses 13 to 24. For the promise to Abraham or his posterity that he should inherit the world did not come through observing the commands of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, then faith is made futile and empty of all meaning, and the promise of God is made void, is null and has no power. For the law results in divine wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, inheriting the promise of the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith, in order that it might be given as an act of grace, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all its descendants, not only to the devotees and the adherents of the law, but also to those who share. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised, as see they already existed. That is the definition of assurance. I will define assurance later on. The definition of assurance. Assurance is different from insurance. Assurance is different from insurance. Insurance is protecting against something that you don't know. While assurance is a protection, is a promise for something that you know will come to pass. So this is the definition of assurance that we can pick from. It is bringing to life the things that do not exist, as if they already existed. Assurance that the promise of God will definitely come to pass. That is assurance. Let's continue verse 18. For Abraham, human reason for oath being gone, oath in faith that he should become the father of many nations. He was assured that the promise will come to pass, as he had been promised. For numberless shall your descendants be. He had a promise and was assured that by holding on to that promise, it will come to pass. Verse 19, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the impotence of his own body, even though the facts and the figures did not add up, because his body was dead. He could not bear children anymore. He still held on to the faith, by faith to God. Let's continue. Which was as good as dead, his body was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years, or even when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. Verse 20. No unbelief or distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Verse 21, fully satisfied. Oh, I love this word. Bless the name of the Lord. He said, fully satisfied. Look at the next word. And assured. Fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he promised. Verse 22, that is why his faith was credited to him as what? As righteousness. Verse 23, But the words it was credited to him were written not for his own sake alone. 24.
but they were written for our sakes too. Righteousness standing acceptable to God will be granted and credited to us also who believe in, trusting and adhering and relying on God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. May the Lord bless me on this word in Jesus' name.
The word of God is sure, is amen. Our topic again today is praying with full assurance. And we can just see there. Let me just take us back memory lane. Let me just take us back memory lane to understanding the assurance that we're talking about. Because I would like to bring in a ministry into this. We can see that when, despite the promise and despite the fact and the figures of the body of Abraham and Sarah, God still sent to them a visitor by the angels of the Lord. And the angel said, by this time next year, you'll be carrying your child, even though she laughed. But what are we trying to say here is that as part of our praying and receiving a full assurance, Christians, we need to understand the ministry of angels. As a Christian, we need to understand that angels are around us every time, especially as the children of light. As the children of God, we don't pray to angels, but angels are ministering angels to us. We can see that quickly in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. I need to call our attention to this so that we know that henceforth, no matter what we are going through, we need to be speaking right, doing right, so that the angels around us can become ministering angels to us. When we pray, we should know that. That is why we've been saying that when you pray, our prayers are answered. Especially for a child of light, your prayers are answered. We already said 2 weeks ago that when you pray, you need to decide what you pray for. When you pray, you need to believe. When you pray, you need to affirm. Now, how do you do all these things? What are those things that cause, what are those catalytic agents? They are angels. Especially when life is difficult, beware of what you say, because you know that they are angels. Look at what the Bible says. What role then do the angels have? The angels are spirit messengers sent by God to serve those who are going to be saved. The moment you are saved, the angels are at your beck and call to serve, to minister unto you, to carry your prayer requests and to pray. Let's look at, the Bible says they are spirit beings. They are spirit beings. In the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 13, the book of Daniel chapter 10, because if we don't know what we are doing or what we are saying, we can be hurting ourselves. Especially when we pray. In the book of Daniel chapter 12 verse 13, let's look at the ministry of the angels when we are praying in full assurance. It says, then he said to me, don't be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourself before God, your words were heard. Now, I'm going to bring us to a fact here now very soon. But let's say, and I have come in response to your words. Now, this is also prayer. This is Daniel 10, verse 12 and 13. Now, what gives voice to the word of God is our prayer. When you carry the word of God and you speak it, you are praying. When you carry the word of God and you are speaking it, you are praying, you are conversing with God. Now, look at it. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart on a matter. From the first day you prayed, from the first day you said you are going to do this thing, to understand the scripture, or to work it out and to pray. He said that day, your prayers, your words. Now, you need to understand this now. He said, Daniel, from the first day that thou did set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God. He said, your words were heard. Your prayers were heard. The voice you gave to the word of God that you sought to understand were heard. And he said, as an angel, I have come for, the KJV says, I have come for thy words. I have come for your words of prayer. I have come for what you have said positively or if you have said it negatively. You know, last 2 weeks ago we said, if you're about to say something negative, what did he say? Put your hand over your what? Over your mind. In the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, we found out that if you are thinking something negative, quickly do what? Put your hand over your mouth. Proverbs 24 verse 5, I'm sure that's where it says it. Now, we are now talking about being able to speak right, praying in full assurance, and knowing that your answers are coming to your prayers by giving voice to the word of God. Now, look at verse 13. No, let's just read verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing in opposition to me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left there with the king of Persia. Now, that is the demon of the environment that has been overcome. But that verse 12 is what we're talking about. That when you pray, answers come to your prayer. It says, I have come to give answer. Some other versions will say, I have come to give answer to your response. I have come to respond. Look at what the Amplifier says. I have come to respond to your words. And this one says, I have come to receive your words. So it is about praying the right words. It's about praying the word of God. Because that's why at times, I remember those days when we were still young Christians, and we put the Bible under our pillow. It doesn't do anything. It's a waste of, complete waste of time. The devil knows the word of God itself. So it's not about putting the Bible beneath your pillow or driving around with it. It's about how much of the word you are consuming. Let's look at Jeremiah 15 verse 16. What does it say? How much of the word are you consuming? Jeremiah 15, 16 says something that is very powerful about the word of God and about the way we need to treat the word of God. Jeremiah 15, 16 says, your words are were found. Your words were found. And I what? I ate them. Praise God. The words of God were found. Jeremiah 15, 16. In the KJV, I'll read it. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. It's not about eating the raw paper. No. It's about eating the word of God in the word, in the Bible. You can carry the Bible around, but as long as you don't eat them and carry them in your heart, they become nothing. Because when you pray the word of God, it becomes potent. What are you praying? Are you praying the word of God? Because the word of God is what will become potent when it hears them back. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O the Lord of hosts. So, the word of God needs to be treated like a food to eat. Because when you pray them, the angels receive them and bring the response to you. So, as a Christian, as someone that is eager to increase your capacity to receive, you need, and pray with full assurance, you need to give the voice to the word of God. You need to speak forth. So, even if you are praying, and you say, I'm praying with my heart, good, but give voice to your prayer. Pray out aloud at times. Even when Anna was praying, the Bible says that her mouth was what? Her mouth was moving. Give voice to the word of God. And the word of God needs to be eaten. Not just read. Not just glance through. But eaten. Because when you eat them, and you speak life, because like the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19, that life and death I've given unto you. But it says, choose what? Choose life. So when you speak life to you, to yourself, to your situation, let me ask us a question. Do we want more problems? Do we want more problems? So why you don't want more problems? Why are you praying the problem? So what do you have to pray? Do you want solutions? So you pray what? You pray solutions. Do you want pain? No. I'm sure that's the answer. So why are you praying the pain? Do you want healing? Then you pray what? Pray the healing. Do you want increase? Why are you praying the lack? Instead of praying the lack, pray what? Pray the increase. So he said, choose life. Pray life. Speak life. God knows that our heart is burning and pain, and there's pain there. So why are you still praying what he knows about? Pray the outcome. As we said, always learn to pray the outcome. Always learn to pray the outcome. You see, prayer in itself is not warfare. But warfare starts when you have prayed. So you need to know that you are up when you pray. A war, as we've seen in Daniel, is starting, and you need to be able to fight in it. So you need to fight your way through at times. You need to pray your way through. And the only way to fight your way through is by praying your way through. Because the moment the towards comfort, the devil begins to fight the battle of the mind. Now, the born again part of our life is the spirit of, is the spirit in us. The moment you are saved, your spirit becomes saved. Your spirit becomes saved. So our spirit is saved, but one thing needs to happen. We need to retrain our body and we need to transform our mind. So the blood of Jesus helps us to get salvation. The death on the cross gives us a line, a lifeline unto salvation. So we are saved. Our spirit is saved, but the body is still there. The body is not saved. So as a Christian, we need to train our body to succumb to the spirit. Then we need to transform our mind by eating the word of God. So we have a lot to do. You can be born again and not and still be speaking dirty words because your mind has not been transformed. You can be a Christian, your spirit is being, but your body is still going to do the things you don't want to do. Your body is still drinking there, is still consuming the alcohol. Your body is still gambling. It is not that I am still a born again and I'm struggling. It is that you have to retrain your body to succumb to the things of the spirit and then transform your mind by the word of God. I would like, our time is fast spent, but I would like us to understand that for us to increase the capacity to receive, God, our Father, is bringing us, He wants to bring us to a level where He wants us to be. God wants to train us and bring us up to a level. Let me just back that up by reading the book of Galatians chapter 4 verse 1. Galatians chapter 4 verse 1. What does it say? Galatians chapter 4 verse 1. What does it say? Because that is where we can see and understand that it is about coming to the fullness of where God is. It says, in a similar way, God has promised our ancestors something better. But as long as a child, as long as the heir is a minor, he is not really much different than a servant, although he is the master over all of them. So as long as a Christian is still behaving like a child, he cannot take over the promises of God that we plan to. Even though God has given him the dominion, even though he is the owner of everything, but the fact that he is still a child does not give him the possession. So the Bible is saying that he wants us to grow up to the level of fullness where God wants us to grow to receive from him. We need to grow to where God wants us to be for us to receive from him everything that he has planned for us. Because as long as that Christian is still a child, he's still acting like a baby, he cannot receive the fullness. Because even though he owns everything, even though we are joint heirs with God, even though we are joint heirs with Jesus, to get everything that God has promised, but as long as we are still a child, still feeding on the milk, still praying the problem, we differ nothing from the servant. Though we are Lord of all, but as long as we are still behaving like an underage, who has to go through every scrutiny and help, praying the problem, praying without the faith, praying prayerless, he said, praying and like a child, you know, doing things as if we have no father, worrying about what we should be praying about. As long as we remain drinking the milk of the word and not eating the bones and the meat of the word, we differ not from the servants. And we have to grow to a place. We have to grow to a place of maturity. We have to grow to a place of sonship for us to be able to get into all that we are master of. So God wants us to grow up to the fullness of what he has promised us so that we can what? So that we can receive from him. Do we know that praying in assurance, because everything in life is run by prayer. When you pray, get ready to fight. Prayer doesn't make faith work, but faith is what makes your prayer work. The fact that you pray is not what makes you. Need to have faith in yourself. It's like, help my own belief. Help me. We need to move to a place of praying with faith, because because we know that what it's all, he said, the faith of Abraham was counted to him as righteousness. We need to move and grow up. We need to move and grow up. Let's read the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Maybe for today we'll round up and we'll continue the series again. Well, I know the series will take a long time before we... But today I want us to take away that we need to grow to the fullness of what God has planned for us. We need to speak positively. Pray positively. Pray the outcome and not the problem. Pray the outcome. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. We'll read that. But before, and then every time we pray, we know that there are ministering angels that have been sent to help us. We should know that. We should come out from the boat of faithlessness and strive onto the level of having faith in God. We need to know that. You cannot feel, you see, the problem is we want to feel faith. We want to feel faith. I will give us, the next time we go back onto this, possibly second Sunday in September, we will discuss what exactly gives us the right to pray in full assurance. But today is just like an introduction to increasing our capacity to receive by praying with full assurance. That the moment you pray, your prayers are answered. Answers come to your prayers the moment you pray. Angels have carried your words and they are bringing the response back. We need to know that we need to operate in that assurance. Look at what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence. This is our assurance that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we ask Him anything according, how do we know that we have what we asked? How do we know? It is because we know that He hears us. How do you know that when you kneel to pray, you have what you ask? It's because you have prayed and you know that He has heard you. The moment you have that confidence that you know, look, I didn't say it, the Bible says it, that we are confident about what we ask, He hears us. Let me just read that verse again in KJV. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Confidence, assurance that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. I will break that down for us, just like what we did the other time. I'll break it down in the understanding that I want us to have. So, but I would like to read up to us this version also. Let's see. Let's take a different version and just see what it says. I'll read this in this way. Since we have this confidence, it means it's already existing. You are confident as a Christian that my nature is no longer the nature of sin. The nature I carry is the nature of God, which is right living. It is righteousness. And I'm confident. I am confident in that nature that my God is, He hears me. Let's quickly go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs, while we're still there, Proverbs 28, verse 1. Let's see why I'm talking about confidence this week. You will see the boldness that comes in you as a righteous person. The confidence comes when you know that you are righteous. That confidence. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1. What does it say? It's a popular verse that we all know, but we'll read it. So you can't come and say you are timid. Timidity is not of God. No way. It says, the wicked flee when no one pursues them, but the righteous, praise God. But the righteous are as bold as what? As a lion. They're righteous. So the moment you know you do not carry the nature of sin, you are confident to approach the throne of mercy. Because you do not carry the nature of sin anymore, which you carried before, but which salvation has taken away. Now you carry the nature of God, which is righteousness that you did not work for, but has been imputed into you. So the nature of God is righteousness, has been given to you. The nature of God, which is righteousness, has been given to you. What does the Bible say in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21? Because I would like to back these things up in the word. So that we know that it's not that, oh, he just said it, I don't think it's existing. Is it true? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, He made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, So that in him we would become the righteousness of what? Of God. I'll read it again. He made Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf. Transfer. Christ moved into our position, took the nature of sin, and thereby he did something in return. He now said, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. So he took our sins. In 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'll read again. He made Christ who knew no sin. So there was a judicial transfer. There was a transfer of our sinful nature onto Jesus Christ. There was a transfer. There was now a transfer that imputed the righteousness of God into us and it made him to be sin for us. So he became a personified sin. He carried our sin. He took our sin out of us. He didn't just take the sin that he committed, but he took the sinful nature. We're talking about the nature of sin, the need to be committing sin, the love to be committing sin, the fleshly desire to live in a place of sin. He said he took it. So he took the sinful nature out of us that we will be made the righteousness of God in him. So we become righteous when we become Christians, when we become born again. When you become righteous, you become confident. So there is no reason that you are fearful, that you cannot approach a situation, because you carry the nature of God, which is righteousness. And the Bible tells us that our Father is the Lion of the tribe of what? Of Judah. So you do not have any reason to be fearful. You can approach always in confidence, with assurance. Just like we'll go back to 1 John chapter 5. That says now there that since we have the confidence that we also have great boldness before him. For if we request anything agreeable to his will, he hears us. How do we know that what we are saying agrees to the will of God? How do you know? It is because you have eaten the word of God. You are carrying the word of God. So you know that what you are doing is the will of God. You don't have to be waiting for. You have the evidence before you. The will of God is the word of God. The will of God is the word of God. So the moment you are doing things in his will, and you pray the will of God, that's why I said pray the word of God. Pray the word of God. Pray it to him. You know he hears you. Instead of waiting for a voice, pray to him a verse and wait for the verse that backs what you are looking for. Stop waiting for a voice. Start looking for a verse. So how do we know that what we have asked, we have received? It's because we know he hears us. That the moment we say it, he hears us. How do we then know that he heard us? Because we have prayed according to his will. So it is a simple illustration and a logic that, I know God hears me. Sorry, I know that I have received what I asked for because I know he heard me. Oh, yes, I know he heard me because I have prayed his word back to him. Because I have prayed according to his word. Let's look at John chapter 11. And we'll round up there. John chapter 11. I hope we are blessed today. That we will go out and begin to live the life that of a son and not of fear. Now, let's look at John chapter 11, the story of Lazarus. Let's start from verse 36. This is the story of Lazarus. I just want to use this story to illustrate to us praying the will of God, because we know that God hears us when we pray, just like I've read already. And we'll round up there. Verse 36. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the blind's eye have kept this man from dying? So Jesus, again, deeply moved within to the point of anger, approached the tomb. It was a cave, and a boulder was lying against it to cover the entrance. Jesus said, take away the stone Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an offensive odor, for he has been dead 4 days. It is hopeless. Every hopeless situation in our life, every hopeless condition of health in our families, every situation that has been dead that people have said they have written it off, every written off case that this is a write off, is it joblessness? Is it immigration? Is it health issues? As the Bible says that he said, comfort, today they become hopeful again in the name of Jesus. Let's continue. Take away the stone. He said, he said he's been dead for 4 days and it is hopeless. Man have written this case as hopeless, but God said it is not hopeless. He said there is hope for a tree that has been cut down. Today you begin to sprout forth from your roots in the name of Jesus. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, if you believe, only believe, stop trying to calculate. Stop trying to want to understand how God will do it. It's not your business to know how God will provide you that hope. It is your business to believe for it. Do you think you can pay for what God is asking you to believe for? When God is asking you to believe for something, you can't pay for it. But God is asking that, I want your heart to be large to receive it. I don't want you to, it's not about your pocket being large, it's about your heart being large. When your heart can think it, when your heart can desire it, when your heart can receive it, your hand can deliver it. So if you say, I want to become a this, let your heart receive it. The moment your heart receives it, your hand can deliver it. So he said, I only want you to believe. Stop talking about how will a 4-day dead body rise up. It is not your business. Stop trying to fathom how God will pay off your debt. And start believing God to pay off the debt. Stop trying to think of how chemo will heal your cancer. And start doing what? And start believing God will heal the cancer. Start believing for it. All he said is believe. He said, all I want you to do is what? Believe. And you will see the glory of God. The glory of God is the expression of his excellence. So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised, now, this is where I want us to be. And Jesus raised his eyes towards heaven and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Just, how do we know he hears us? He said, thank you, God, my Father, because I know you have what? You have heard me. I knew that you always hear me and listen to me. But I have said this because of these people standing around, so that they can believe that you are the one that sent me. So how do we know that we have what we asked? Because we know that he knows what? He hears us. Jesus said, I know you hear me and I know you have heard me. So how do we know that we have received our healing? Because we know that the moment we prayed it, he did what? He heard us. So how do we know that he heard us? Because we know that we have prayed the word of God to him, which is his will, that we would live in good health and prosper even as our soul prospered. That is how we know. And that is our confidence in God. That is our confidence in God. That is our confidence in God. So as from today, approach the throne of God with what? With full assurance, with boldness. Stop going with timidity. You see, all the emotions that we put into all these things. Oh, God, my Father. It's not about emotions now. It's about confidence. Let your confidence take your emotion. Yeah, you can cry if you want to. But why not do it with confidence that he has heard you and you know he hears you because you have prayed his will. We have defined today what assurance is. We have said that our righteousness gives us the confidence to approach him. And we have said that the moment we are righteous in Christ, righteousness of God comes in us in Christ, the Spirit becomes our teacher, the Word becomes our food, and Jesus, the Spirit, will illuminate that Word and make it a living thing in our lives. So I want us to go away from here today to be able to know that there is an assurance. An assurance is a promise that the thing that had already been promised will come to pass. He's holding on to that. So it is about knowing the end, knowing the outcome, and holding on to the outcome is what materializes. So pray until you receive the outcome, but know that the outcome is sure. Do not waver in faith. pray with confidence because your nature is now righteousness. I pray that as from today, every time we approach God's throne, we'll approach with confidence in the name of Jesus. Let's rise up to pray.